Welcome back to the home of explanations. You've got more than money. You've got Gene Dickinson, your host, your personal financial advisor, and the calls are pouring in already, John. Sorry, John. Apologies. If you're just joining us, the first hour of More Than Money will be podcast placed on the website Monday around noon. So check that out, and you can listen to that at your convenience. And happy to serve you in that way, of course. If you've got a question about your investments, your income taxes, your estate planning, or your business, you've reached the exact spot. Nobody has a radio dial anymore. My apologies. That's how old I am. You've reached the right spot on your radio, and all you need to do is request it, 610-720-7900, gene@askmtm.com, or you can listen anywhere you have access to the website, to the internet, on our website, morethanmoneyonline.com. Welcoming to our studios from LVCIL, we've got Jim Mahoney and Greg Bach. Good morning, gentlemen.
Good morning.
Uh-oh. John, did you pot them up now? Good morning, gentlemen.
Good morning.
Ah, there we go. Look at that. And they did it in stereo. That's very, very nice. 610-720-7900. Gentlemen, hang on one second. We're going to go to the phones. We're going to talk to Jim. Jim, good morning, sir.
Hi, good morning, Gene. I got a quick question for you.
Sure.
On my maximum 401k contribution, I know that it's $18,000 a year maximum, right?
You are how old?
I'm 58.
As for you, it's $24,000.
Right. Now, does that include what the company contributes as well?
No.
So it's my own personal money that go in that amounts to $24,000.
That is exactly correct.
Great. Okay. And then I also contribute to a Roth, and that doesn't figure into that, right?
The Roth is part of your 401k, it absolutely does figure into that.
Even though I'm contributing after-tax money?
The IRS doesn't care. The DOL doesn't care. The 401k doesn't care. You can take your $24,000. You can put it all in the Roth. You can put part of it in the Roth. You can leave all of it in the standard, part of it in the standard. But the total amount that you're contributing, whether it's Roth or standard, is maxed at $24,000.
So I would have to have a Roth in a separate account apart from my 401k in order to contribute $5,000 per year?
If you're doing the maximum, or to be fair, if you're even participating in your 401k, it is unlikely that you'll qualify to have a separate Roth IRA. In order to qualify, in order to take advantage of the Roth provisions, you'll need to do that within your 401k system.
I understood. Thank you for your help, Gene.
You're welcome, Jim. You take care. 610-720-7900. Gentlemen, Lehigh Valley Center for Independent Living. Who wants to give our audience just the Reader's Digest condensed version of what the heck you're doing over there?
Sure. We help people with disabilities live independently. And really what that means is our mission is to help people achieve independence and in their community. So we provide a variety of different services, from job coaching services for young adults to housing services for people who are living on limited income or homeless veterans. We just provide a variety of different services to help people live independently and achieve their dreams.
That is a really cool summary, and you're doing some great stuff.
Yeah, we're a busy place.
Give our audience just a sense of how many folks' lives are you touching at this point?
Well, last year we served 877 individuals in the Lehigh Valley, and I say the Lehigh Valley, but that also includes, we've expanded our services up into Carbon and Monroe as well. And our veterans program, we serve Carbon, Monroe, Lehigh, Northampton, Berks, and Pike County.
Audience, when you say veterans, our audience's ears, they perk mm-hmm. up. So give us a little bit of a background on what are you doing for the vets?
Sure. We are actually, we're one of many Centers for Independent Living throughout the nation. So there's a Center for Independent Living's, there's a Center for Independent Living that covers every county in the nation. And we're one of 18 in Pennsylvania. But what's unique about us is that we're the only Center for Independent Living that has federal funding to help veterans with disabilities, specifically homeless veterans. So it's a very targeted program, and we provide them with short-term financial assistance, housing case management, pretty much everything that they would need to stabilize their housing. You know, everything that they need, and it's not just getting a veteran off the street and working with, and it's also their family members too. But it's also not just getting them off the streets or getting them out of, you know, homeless shelters. It's really providing them all the services that they need afterwards. The housing first model is to get somebody stabilized in their housing and then continue to provide them the services so that they can maintain stability. And that's the key. That's the key to success. And so, yeah, we do amazing work. We have an amazing staff. We have some veterans on staff, too, a Marine on staff. So it's great. You know, we come at it from that very unique angle because the majority of our staff are people with disabilities, too. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, it's a great program. And like I said, we're proud to be the only center in the nation that has that program.
I'm actually hesitant to ask the question, what kind of demand is there in this area for especially homeless vet services?
Our housing services, I would say in general, lumping together that the homeless veteran services that we provide are in constant demand. We work a lot with a variety of different agencies, and that's the one thing too that we try to work with every agency in the Valley that provides services to people with disabilities or without disabilities, really anything that will help improve the lives of our consumers. But there's always a demand. We serve more than 400 individuals per year in our housing services, including the veteran services. So yeah, just constant demand, and it's been like that. We've been doing this since 1995. We've had these services in the Valley, so it's been a constant increase.
Well, and again, our audience has a soft spot in our hearts, especially for our vets, but to try to help anybody mm-hmm. Get a leg up is important to our More Than Money audience. Tell me a little bit about your staff. You're doing it. That's a ton of work. How are you guys staffed at this point?
We have over 63 staff at this point.
Wow. Correct.
Yeah. Yeah. When I started eight years ago, I think it was, we had a staff of 12. So now we have 63 and our budget is more than quadrupled probably at this point. It's you know, the work of our staff. We always say our staff are our greatest asset. And they are the people that are out, you know, they're out in the field, they're out working in the community, and they're doing just great jobs, from our job coaches that are helping young adults find their first job, potentially learn those skills to live independently, to our case managers that are out pounding the pavement, helping our consumers find housing. It's incredible. We really do have an amazing staff.
That's Well, and obviously those are the folks that are making the connections.
Absolutely,
they're making those personal connections.
Yep.
And I don't have to share with you folks, but everybody else listening, a lot of the challenge of assisting people, whether they have disabilities, physical, emotional, mm-hmm. Et cetera, or whether they're just quote unquote normal. Mm-hmm. I'm looking around this room. I'm not sure any of us qualify, but is the reluctance on the part of a lot of people to accept that assistance, that mm-hmm. leg up, that hand up, and being able to make a connection,
yeah,
a personal connection, allows maybe some folks who would be pushing you away to maybe accept a little bit of that yeah, assistance.
Absolutely. And that's where, like I said, majority of our staff have disabilities too. And that's what really bridges that gap and makes that connection. I think that makes the services that we provide that much better. And it also just, it just builds that bridge. And it makes people want to come back. You know, it's a very welcoming environment. You know, we're not, our director, Amy, she always says, you know, we're not people sitting in an ivory tower trying to make decisions for people. It really is a partnership between our consumers and our staff to find out what is best for that individual. And we're going to provide every resource we can to help get them to that level.
That's
makes my job easy as a grant writer. Oh, my gosh. It's great. I mean, the work that our staff does, the amount of people that we serve, it just makes my life easy going out there and selling the programs to our funders and donors.
Because you see the end results.
Absolutely, yeah, absolutely.
Do we let Jim talk at all, do you think?
Maybe.
Why should it be any different here than it is at work?
Well, Jim is not just the director of finance, but he's my go-to guy often during the middle of the show if I've got a financial question. Jim, you're a CPA by training.
That's correct.
Devote yourself to the nonprofit as a part of a calling in essence, using your skills.
Yeah, I was very fortunate. I've been with LVCIL for about 9 months now, and it's just it was just totally rewarding. And you know, echoing what Greg said, just the dedication and the expertise and professionalism of the staff just really makes it a pleasure to come into work. And we really all work well together, working towards a common goal. The things that I worry about as a director of finance is our as Greg alluded to, our budget is a little over $4 million a year. So the sobering thing sitting in my chair is that we need over $14,000 a day coming in the door on average in order to keep the place running and the doors open. And some days we're well below average, so it's challenging.
Challenging, indeed. The source of these revenues. How are you funding this budget?
Yeah, currently a little over a third of our budget comes from grants, government grants, private grants. The rest we do from fee for services.
Okay.
And also our fundraising activities and things of that nature. So, and of course, federal funding, state funding being what it is,
tighter and tighter.
We cannot count on that forever. So we've got to make some provisions to get to more fee for service income. As Greg can attest, the number of hurdles necessary for applying for, complying with, and reporting on grant revenues is extremely time consuming. So on one hand, it's a lot better. You're in more control of your destiny if you can move more to a fee for service model. On the other hand, it's a little scary because you've got to make that leap and you've got to move into these new programs and hope the demand and the funding will be there.
I'd say this too. I mean, the grant landscape, I was actually just at a meeting yesterday talking with some other grant writers, and the grant landscape has gotten more and more competitive because there are more agencies out there. And there's a lot of agencies that do very similar work, and it's our job to find those connections and make those connections and build partnerships, and we've been really successful at that. One of our programs that we have is called our Transition Experience Program, and it's funded through a grant from the state, and we partner with Cedar Crest College. So the program is run at Cedar Crest College. We have young adults with disabilities that are in their last year of high school. They attend over there, and they get all the services and support that they need to kind of explore post-secondary education options on the campus, you know, check out classes at Cedar Crest, or learn about finding jobs in the community. So it's those unique partnerships, and we do a very similar thing too with LTRIC. So finding those unique partnerships, that's what grant funders definitely want, and that's what donors also like. They like to see, you know, we're not duplicating services in the community. We're working together as a community to really make it better for everyone.
It's fantastic. For folks who have never written a grant, for folks who have never requested a grant, for folks who have never needed to respond to the requirements of a grant, it seems like a pretty straightforward thing. Dear rich person, send me money, and that
she was that simple.
Yeah, it could not be further from the truth. And once you receive the grant, the work has just begun.
Absolutely, yeah.
All the reporting and all the feedback loops that they require, in order for, and the interconnections that you apparently are really really good at building, whether it's Cedar Crest or LTRIC or elsewhere. Mm-hmm. That's got to make in the business world, we talk about clients being sticky, serving them in so many different ways with so many cross connections that they don't want to go anywhere else. I'm guessing that for folks who are providing you with grants, that kind of stickiness is really impressive to them as well.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, absolutely.
Good and for you.
Yeah, it makes it easier for us to seek funding, to get new grants, and to create new projects, or just do community initiatives. Like the last time I was here, I was running from Lehigh Parkway because we do an event every year with the Allentown Parks and Rec Department. It's a community fishing event. So it's even stuff like that, even community events that aren't necessarily fundraising events. They're just about bridging that gap between people with disabilities, without disabilities, because we're all just people, after all.
Oh, without a doubt. Without a doubt.
Yeah, that stuff, like I said, it just makes it easy.
If and I know Jim has on, because he's a regular listener, heard Shane Burkhoff from Laughing at My Nightmare on the show several times. I have long since forgotten Shane as a quote unquote disabled person, and I have simply integrated Shane in my memory banks and my systems as one of the funniest, smartest, coolest young guys I know. And I'm certain that that's kind of the end result we all want.
Absolutely.
That disability, quote unquote, whatever that means, because although both my legs work, my wife will explain to you that I have several disabilities and I'm just trying to get the garbage from one spot to another. It's a challenge. It's got it. So I respect that very, very much. Speaking of community events.
Yes.
You guys have a pretty interesting one coming up.
Yeah. On May 4th, we have our Galactic Gala. So May the 4th be with you. It's up at El Tri-C. And it's our Galactic Gala, so Star Wars-themed event. This is our fourth gala. And what we do is we try to give entertainment. So there's an entertainment portion. We also do some work with our we have a pre-gala event with our donors and our sponsors, a cocktail hour, and there's going to be lots of fun things this year. We hope to have some Star Wars characters there from Garrison Corita. They're the group that you see around dressed up like Star Wars characters all over the events in the valley. They're at the Autism Walk quite a bit, we have some performers coming out. They'll be singing songs that are Star or space themed. We have our caterer did a great job coming up with some creative names for our food. Obi-Wan Kebabies and Jar Jar Links, Millennium Falcon Mac and Cheese Bar. So that's pretty awesome. And like I said, it's just a great event, and all the proceeds go to benefit our services.
That Jar Jar Links. That's so cool. That's Ewok egg rolls. Oh, this is great stuff. And, of course, lightsabers, which are chocolate-dipped pretzels. Lightsabers, you got to do that.
Absolutely.
That is just fantastic. Can folks still get involved?
Yes, absolutely. You can go to our website. It's lvcil.org/gala. And you can look at our information there. Ticket prices, we have a special price for our consumers and their family members at $35 rate. The regular ticket price is $75, and it goes up from there. And we also, there's sponsorship. It's still available if you'd like to get involved. We have some great sponsors. El Tri-C and Wells Fargo Advisors are our presenting sponsors this year. And we have lots of great sponsorships and partners that have stepped up to the plate to help make this event possible. Like to shout out, actually, to Adams Outdoor Advertising, that we have some billboards up right now on 22 and Tillman Street. They did a great job. They're the Star Wars themed billboards. They're
fantastic.
They look awesome.
Their support of our community is just second to none. Fantastic.
So there's definitely time to get involved. It's coming up quick.
LVCIL.org/gala, GALA. Make sure that you check it out, not just for the opportunity to buy tickets and be sponsors, but check out the sponsors. There are a lot of really, really good folks here who are helping out LVCIL, and in addition to great food, entertainment, creative food at the very least, and entertainment, you've got a silent auction, you've got raffles, they got tickets, John, to Dorney Park and Wildwater Kingdom. You might want to get in on that.
Okay.
That's John's day job, so I'm thinking he's okay with that. A hotel stay in New York City, that's for when you're in deep trouble and you need to get out of town quickly.
Okay.
That's just something to think about, I'm telling you. Wine raffle. Ooh, my wife, she's going to be very unhappy. That's Apparently.
I have, we've received wine donations from a lot of our board members and other sponsors. So my office actually looks like a small wine cellar. I can't put my feet under my desk anymore because I have so many boxes of
wine. Greg is in violation of the company alcohol policy at this
Greg,
point.
Greg, don't be embarrassed. We're going to get you the help that you need. I know a good program that we can get you into. Seriously. No, exactly. He just has to go down the hall and turn left. All right, I'm in a program. This is fantastic. Roughly how many people are you expecting for this wonderful event?
Right now, our RSVPs are up a little over 100, so about 150 for the event.
Oh, fantastic.
Yep. So, and this is just, this kind of kicks off our event season. We have a golf event in August, on Wednesday, August 16th, that benefits our veterans program. It's going to be down at Wedgwood. And then we have our community fishing event with, again, with the Allentown Parks and Rec Department. That is on September 23rd, Saturday, September 23rd. And again, we just have events going on all the time. So this is really a kickoff of our event season, I would say.
Fantastic. Make sure you keep us in the loop on all the events that you have coming up, because golf, yeah, that caught my attention. We'll be coming down and losing a lot of money there. And in addition, we'll be able to sponsor or promote the events on our website as well.
That'd be fantastic.
Fantastic. Gentlemen, before we wrap up and throw you the heck out of here, what other information should we have that's germane to the discussion this morning?
I think in addition to helping out with the gala, anyone who's interested, we are always looking for volunteers,
who
want to get involved. We have a number of volunteers that are helping out around the office, doing various things. So you can get involved in any way you desire.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
And you're based where?
We are over in Allentown. We're right off 13th Street. Right behind Bellissimo's restaurant, or across from Liberty Bell Beverage. It's normally
excellent.
When I say Liberty Bell Beverage, everybody's like, "Oh, okay, yeah, I know exactly where."
And his office is full of wine. Okay, there seems to be a pattern here. I'm a little concerned, but we'll be fine. And gentlemen, our audience, they're tremendously generous folks. They're also active folks. So the idea that they could volunteer and maybe be involved to be able to help out, I think is going to be attractive to a number of folks. If they would like to create a volunteer opportunity, how do they contact you?
They can call our office number at 610-770-9781. You can call me directly. My extension's 120. I'd be glad to talk to anybody about any programs that we have available and volunteer opportunities.
Thanks very much.
Yeah, thank you.
Thanks for
being here. Thank you so much.
Our pleasure indeed. 90 seconds. As we go to our next break, last break of our show, it's an opportunity for you to do a couple things. You can absolutely go online and check out lvcil.org/gala. Become involved in May the 4th be with you. Okay. All right. Go ahead. Have some fun with absolutely. And help a wonderful organization. If you have questions, we already got a half a dozen emails lined up on the on the bad phone. It's getting away from you, brother. And if you would like to be first in line on the phone lines to have your questions answered after our break, 610-720-7900. We'll be glad to take your calls. And lots more after this on More Than Money. I'm giving. Welcome back to the Home of Explanations. We want to thank Greg and Jim for coming in from the Lehigh Valley Center for Independent Living. What they're doing, some of the stuff they're doing is all the stuff they're doing is great, but some of it really touches me. I mean, it's just the thought that in the Lehigh Valley, We have so many wonderful things. So many, the quality of life here is fantastic. And then to think that we've got some vets that are homeless, and the fact that a lot of their employees have some challenges of their own, so that they can better. I mean, it's a natural thing that they can relate to their clients. They're doing great stuff over there. If you can assist them, that would be fantastic. Check out their website, lvcil.org, and check out the whole website. There's a lot on there that you're really going to be impressed with. And if you can be part of their May the 4th be with you, Han Solo Cups. That's so good. That is, I can't believe they missed that one. Oh, geez. Fantastic. I have a feeling they're going to grab that one up. That was nice, generous of you. If you would like to have your questions asked and answered this morning on More Than Money, we've got 22 and a half minutes left in this edition. Oh, my apologies, 21 minutes left in this edition. And happy to serve you. 610-720-7900, 610-720-7900, gene@askmtm.com, morethanmoneyonline.com. Again, this coming Tuesday, Tuesday afternoon, 4 o'clock, we've got a reverse mortgage workshop with Tiffany Shutta. In addition to Tiffany sharing with you the basics and answering your questions about reverse mortgages, I've got two ideas I'm going to share with you about increasing your financial security in retirement using reverse mortgages. So lots of good stuff there. Absolutely free. All you have to do is ask, but registering would be really, really appreciated. You can send me an email, gene@askmtm.com, and I'll get that to the right people. You can call the office, 610-746-7007, and leave a message. We'll confirm that on Monday. And hopefully that gets you to us. Also, on May 16th, we have a Social Security workshop hosted by More Than Money, and presenting our very own Social Security advisor, Mr. Mark Basak. On June 17th, I'll be taking More Than Money radio show live. Well, as live as I get, please, to the Laughing at My Nightmare Run, Walk, Roll 5K event. Shane will be out there rolling. He's a rolling guy. We call him Tumbleweed because he's rolling. Sorry, I literally made that up. It's not as good as Han Solo Cup. That's not as good. And on June 20th, Women and Retirement. Some very important insights into the differences and challenges that women face in retirement that may be a little different than we men face. So we've got lots coming up that we want you to be part of. We want to share as much information with you as we possibly can, whether it's on our website, whether it's on our radio show, our TV show, our newsletter, and, of course, in our live events. These are all to assist you in to the greatest extent that we are able. We have an email. Her name is Diane. Listening, have a question about investing for parents, for their children or grandparents to put money away for their grandchildren. Is it better to do an UGMA account or a 529 plan? Children are both under age 3. With a 529, what happens if they don't go to college? And if the parents feel they may not use the fund for college, what would be the best plan? These are very, very good questions. And it does require you to think a bit about what your goals are for this block of money that you're saving. For a lot of folks, when they start saving for young ones under 3, we're saving for college. I think we've answered our question. 529 plan, if you're saving for college, is a beautiful plan with some significant advantages. Well, we're saving so that we give them a good start in life. What exactly does that mean? What in your mind, what does that mean? Does that mean college? Default back to the 529 plan. Does it mean I want them to have a down payment on a house? Then it should not be a 529 plan. I want them to have some money in high school so that they can do, then it cannot be a 529 plan because 529 plans are designed to be used after high school. I want to provide for a private boarding school for high school. No, it doesn't work. I want them to be able to buy a car at some point. Doesn't work. So the determination of do you use a custodial account, whether it's a uniform gift to minors account or otherwise, a custodial account or a 529 starts with what is your intent for this money? And again, if it starts with college, the answers are quite easy. The question is very, very common about what happens to the money in the 529 if the children don't go to college. And the answer is that there are a fair number of options of what could happen. Could you just simply liquidate the account? Let's say you invested $10,000. It's now worth $20,000. Can you simply say to the 529 plan, they're not going to school, send me a check? Yeah. You need to pay tax on the profit, and there's a 10%, for lack of a better word, surrender charge penalty for the profits coming back out, but then you keep $15,000, $16,000, $17,000. So, yeah, you can end the account if at some point 20 years from now it does not appear they're going to go to college. Or you could change from one child to another. So there's two, in this case, happens to be two children, both under age three. Maybe one goes to school, one doesn't. And could the funds that were put away for college for the one child who decides not to be transferred to the other? The answer is yes, no problem whatsoever. At what age must you give the money to the child? Never. Never. There's no quote-unquote maturity age. For uniform gift to minors account, there is. At age 21, it's their money. They can do whatever they want. You have no say over the disposition of those funds. In a 529 plan at age 21, they say, hey, give me my money. They go, you get to say to them, man, are you confused? You don't understand 529 plans, but I do. It's not your money. So at 21, they may not be interested in college at all. Excuse me. At 25, they might be. And since there's no requirement that the money come out at 21, you can just let it cook. And maybe they change their mind. Or if this happens to be your child, and at 25 they're clearly not going to go to college, could you hang on to that money? And when they have a child of their own, your grandchild, could that be a huge head start on college funding for your grandchild? Sure. Sure. Keeping in mind, a lot of folks are unclear about the fact that in a 529 plan, when we talk about college, that it's true, but the definition of college for 529 plan purposes is really broad. Is it Penn State four-year college? Sure. Is it LTRIC two-year? Sure. Could it be computer school, culinary school, welding school, carpenter's apprenticeship program? Yeah, they all count. They all count. And many others that I haven't even thought about. So bottom line for 529 plans, tremendous flexibility. Starfleet Academy? Sure. No, come on. Trump University? No, not Trump University. That's nasty. You got nasty. Bottom line from where I stand, if I had young children that age, three and under, I would likely lean towards the 529 plan for the tax advantages particularly. You get a deduction on your Pennsylvania return, and then it grows tax sheltered until the money comes out. And if the money comes out for educational expenses, it is tax-free. So I think those tax advantages are huge. And considering that 15, 16 years from now, as these young children become more mature, is it likely that they will be requiring additional education of some kind after high school. Sure. By the way, just for fun, one other little wrinkle. Ran into a situation not very long ago. Mom and dad had a college fund. Son, being the bonehead that he is, not interested. The only thing he's interested in is video games. I'm kidding. But simply not interested. And in this particular case, dad had a situation where his company came to him and said, your job is being eliminated. But we love you. You're terrific. You're a great worker. We would love to have you in this position, this other position, alternative position, but you need a certification. Certification, if I remember correctly, it was like $8,000. I mean, it wasn't like I went to LTRC and paid $81. No, it was like $8,000 to go through this training. And the training was like 16 months worth of training. He did a lot of work. He was able to use the son's 529 plan to pay for that education for himself, tax-free. How cool is that? How cool is that? 610-720-7900, gene@askmtm.com, morethanmoneyonline.com. See if I understand this question correctly. Gentleman writes, I'll be laid off from my sales position shortly. The company is discontinuing the production of the line of products. During an interview with an up-and-coming new company, I was asked to submit a base salary request and an incentive plan. Do you have some simple models of plans that you have experienced? The answer is both yes and no. In sales position, is it pretty common to have a base salary and then an incentive plan, commission? Sure, absolutely. Very, very common. Sadly, in this particular case, sadly, they are very, very specific and different industry to industry. So in the financial world, for example, is there a certain model of kind of a base salary and a certain benefit package you might get, and then production increases or income increases above that? Yes. Would it be the same for pharmaceutical sales? No, totally different. Would it be the same for industrial sales? Totally different. What I would recommend that you start with in this particular case is spend some time. Google's pretty amazing. Okay, Google. Start with the industry. Ask about compensation packages within that industry, incentive plans within that industry. Do a little bit of research there. Not a little bit. Do as much research as you can possibly find there. If you're interviewing at a particular company, one alternative that you might consider is to, again, Google search competitors for that company. So let's say that you're interviewing at the Nazareth Diner. Now, there's no one in the Valley that competes with the Nazareth Diner. No, of course there are. Of course there are. So if you were looking for a specific position there, could you talk to another diner owner as a favor, perhaps, maybe somebody you know, or maybe just doing market research and say, hey, if I had that kind of job, what kind of package do you guys offer? And do some market research there. This gentleman's in sales. Market research should be something that you're pretty comfortable with. Those would be a couple ideas that I think will get you a little bit further along. 610-720-7900. 7.5 minutes left in this edition of More Than Money. That's about right. John goes, I don't care. I just want it to be over. He's very tired. Young lady writes, my daughter and son-in-law have given us two beautiful granddaughters who are now four years and the other is 10 months. As I'm reading it, 4 years and 10 months. That's very specific. Where's the other child? No, it's 4 years and 10 months. At dinner this past week, we were talking about their estate plans because they asked us to be guardians for their girls if anything should happen to the two of them. God bless. My husband and I are both 55. We're in good health, but I wonder if we're the best choice to raise the girls. What do you think? I'll circle back to that. Also, they recently applied for life insurance. They're getting $1 million on my son-in-law and $800,000 on our daughter. The thing that bothers me is how low the premiums are. It seems too good to be true. Is there a way to check out the company to see if this is a scam? I'll come back to that as well. Thank you for your show and your offer to help folks like us who just don't know everything we should. In many of the emails, we get wonderful compliments, and we thank everybody for all those nice things that you say. I wanted to share that because there are a lot of folks out there who bump into situations, financially particularly, that they've never bumped into before. We help hundreds of people retire. When you retire, you do it once, generally. My current record is I've had one gentleman retire who has retired four times. Absolutely. He retires, spends some time, goes, I'm bored. Got to go do something. And does it so well that they bring him on board and they make him full time and he works for another 3 or 4 years and then he retires. Then he, I'm bored. He's a great guy. You don't know everything you should. No one knows everything you should. We just don't. It is our absolute honor to give you information that will help you get closer to your financial, in this case, financial peace, because you're asking questions about things that are very, very important, not whether you make a dollar or $2, but whether or not your daughter, your son-in-law, your granddaughters are healthy and happy forever. Okay, let's talk about guardians. I'm not a big fan of grandparents being guardians. Grandparents should be grandparents. However, the guideline that I offer everyone is that the person or persons that you select to be guardians of your children should be the person or persons who would raise these girls as nearly identically to the way you would have raised them if you had been there. And if that happens, in this case, to be mom and dad, God bless. Families used to be, my sister lives two blocks over, my cousins are around the corner up to the left, my mom and dad are right across the street. Families used to be very, very close. Now they're scattered. Does your daughter have a sister? She lives in Texas. Brother lives in California, et cetera, et cetera. So geography can be really challenging. If this gives your daughter and your son-in-law peace of mind knowing that they've found exactly the people they trust to love and raise their daughters in their absence, in the same way they would, or as close as possible, I think you do. You say, yeah, 55, you babies. 55 is the new 35. So God bless. I think that's fine. Is there a way to check out insurance companies to see if they're a scam? Sure. Send me the information, and we can check it out in a heartbeat. Insurance companies have to submit their financials to a number of different regulatory agencies, evaluation services, rating companies. So we can get an entire assortment of detailed financial ratings on any insurance company. And the likelihood that it's a scam is very low. Very, very low. Sadly, there are far more, I'm not going to say scam, there are far more disappointments in the annuity side of life than there are the life insurance side. But they happen as well. If you're telling me that the premiums are very low for $1 million on your son-in-law and $800,000 on your daughter, I am here to tell you it's term insurance. And that's perfectly appropriate. And term insurance premiums can be really, really low, especially if your kids are as young as I'm guessing that they are, term insurance premiums can be remarkably low. $1 million of coverage for a few hundred bucks a year, absolutely possible. And a lot of people go, wait a second, how is that? How can they do that? How can they collect, say $1,000 a year, and if this young man dies, they pay off $1 million? It's because it's term insurance. And this young man is not likely to die. This young man is likely to live a very long time. And even if it's guaranteed for 15 years, 20 years, not unheard of that term insurance can be guaranteed for 30 years. It is far more likely that your son-in-law will be alive and well in 30 years than it is that he won't. And all of the premiums that he has paid over those years, along with the tens of thousands of other young people who got term insurance and did not die, that goes into the insurance company. And they have some remarkably smart people, the mathy kind of people. Mathy, yeah. May the math be with you. All right, that didn't work. Sorry. Johnny Matt. Yeah, nice. Called actuaries who put pencil to paper. Forget that. They use computers, and they are very, very skilled at figuring out exactly how much they can afford to risk for a certain amount of premium. So my guess is that your kid's doing fine. But can we check out the insurance company answers? Absolutely yes. 2 minutes or so, sir?
About a minute.
I will go fast. If you heard anything on today's show that you would like more information about, or if you'd simply like a second opinion either on your investments or your Social Security strategy, your estate planning strategy, or your insurance strategy, all you have to do is ask. Send me an email, gene@askmtm.com. Go on our website, morethanmoneyonline.com, or call us, 610-746-7007. And at absolutely no cost to you, you can sit with one of our More Than Money advisors. You can sit with our Social Security advisor, our estate advisor, or our insurance advisor in our More Than Money World headquarters. Absolutely no charge, no obligation. All you have to do is ask. It's been a pleasure to be with you this Saturday morning. And John's saying it's a pleasure to end today. So stick with us. We'll be talking to you soon again on More Than Money.